down. I'm going to jump in pretty quick here. I have a lot of verses in a lot of places today, and I'll read them to you or quote them to you. Unless you're very quick at finding your verses, so those who just want to listen along, I'll tell you what ones to turn to, but after I'll be jumping everywhere. Talk about strongholds today. I'm going to talk about the stronghold stability, or inconsistency, or being unstable. Genesis 49, it says, verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. So a dad and a great man of God who's getting all of his sons together, I'm going to prophesy and tell you what's going to happen future with your lives. And he told them a couple things, told them what they were going to be like, and he told them what was going to happen in their future generations. And part of it was just having observed they'd been like, and part was prophesying miraculously. And certainly a lot of going to happen in the future with the generations after based on what they were like. And especially a parent can see that and see a fault, just like you can see a fault in a cup and know it's going to break in a certain spot. If the handle, I look at the top of the handle and it's cracked, I know eventually that handle is going to fall off. And a parent who is wise will see the faults in their children and begin to fix and break down the strong, because it's much easier to change when you're young. Matter of fact, your first couple years, first 3 years are the best to break down those strongholds, believe it or not. Not when they're 16 and all of a sudden it's manifesting in things that you think are. It was manifesting itself when they were two, but you just thought it was just their personality and they're cute. But now saying no to you is not so cute, because now they're saying they're going to do really dangerous things. They're going to deal with that when they're young. But this isn't parenting. And so he goes and starts oldest son, Reuben, verse 3, and this is where we'll focus today. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up into thy father's bed, and defilest thou it. He went to my couch. He committed with his dad's concubine. So, verse 6, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty in their habitations. O soul, come not thou into their seat, under their assembly. Mine honor be thou not united, for in their they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged on a wall. Cursed be there, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them, and Jacob scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren praise. Thy hand shall be the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow before thee. Judah's hands well from the... Hey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouches as a lion, as an old man. Who shall rouse him? The scepter shall depart from Judah, nor the log between thy feet until Shiloh come, the Messiah coming from your tribe, because you are a blessed man. I want to talk today about the stronghold of instability. Talk to you about these sons just a little bit. Let's pray. And I pray now, Lord, you give me your power, wisdom, and your spirit. I pray that might be in my voice and through my body today, Lord, the might of God. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Lord, I don't need the strength of man and the strength of men, but we need your power, Father. And we look at the way you use people in the New Testament and the way they preach powerfully, and hearts were and lives were changed. Please let that peace today and speak to us. Lord, today, give me your words and your love and your wisdom. We praise his name. Amen. Well, he said something about several sons, and he talked about going to Simeon. He says, you have anger problems. And you're going to be scattered, and there's going to be a lot of problems, and people are very careful around you because you killed people, had a very bad anger problem. His dad saw a stronghold in his family, and by the way, it's an amazing thing, biblically, if you just look at biblically, things are passed down to entire nations. A nation would gain a personality from the starter of that nation sometimes. Example, God said that one of Abraham's sons would be a man, Israel, and that his descendants would be wild men. And that's the people days who build themselves up and are in, out of 34 conflicts, they're in 29 conflicts. And the world wars, in the wars in the world right now. And very high emotions and high strung. And things get passed down. And things go a certain way. And you've got to learn things. He says, you guys are going to be all messed up. Your children, your descendants are going to be messed up because of that. Judah, you're awesome because you are godly and have done right. And the Messiah is coming out of your loins. Brothers will go and bow down to you. And he says, Reuben, you're my firstborn. And firstborn biblically is very important. And you're my might and my strength and my hope and my future. However, you're unstable as water. Because you're unstable as water, just changing and moving and shifting, and thou shalt not excel. Water is very unstable. You ever try to bucket of water and how it sits and loses balances and tips more and more and spot? Or try to walk through a room with your cup is too full? Or you ever try to get it while you're laying down? And it doesn't work too good because water is very unstable. It tips very easily. It's very unstable. He says, you're like water. You're very unstable. Because you're unstable, you will not excel. Reuben, you can't go forward and do well because you're unstable. The Bible has a ton to say about stability. It's a very important thing in the Bible is to be stable. And he tells him, you're not going to excel because you're unstable. And there's a big problem when we're not stable. Command us to be stable, first of all. He commands us to be stable. 1 Corinthians 15:56, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, your labor is not in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. It says, do not be unstable. It says, we are not to be blown about by every doctrine. We are commanded to be stable people. We are not supposed to be unstable. Number two, another thing about stability, the Bible says, not only are commanded to be stable, sometimes it's used a picture of a successful, blessed life. When God will say, anytime the Bible will say, you're going to have a good life, you're a blessed person, he'll say, you're stable. Turn to the book of Psalms. We'll look at many verses in the book of Psalms here, and you can turn there. And that's one of the passages we'll stay there because we read many Psalms. Stability is very important in the Bible. Psalms 1. It says, blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in this of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and is in his law that they meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree. Trees don't wander a whole bunch. Trees are very stable. He shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Ungodly are not so, like the chaff which the wind driveth away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand judgment. Like a dry little strand weed, when the wind comes, just blows it around everywhere it goes, just blows it, it's unstable. The ungodly are not so, because they are not so, do not stand in the day of judgment, because they are not planted, they are blown about by everything. Stability is an example of a great life in the Bible. If you go to Psalms 15, we want to be stable. Bible says, who's going to dwell in God's presence? In verse 1 and 2, it gives a description. You walk upright, you don't backbite, and all these different things. In verse 5, he that putteth not his money to usury taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. You're stable. You're in the same spot. Go forward to Psalms 55. In the Bible, stable God is good. Stable good, unstable bad. Psalms 55. Verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's an amazing statement there. If you go to Psalm 62, these are my life verses. Psalm 62. Again, we are seeing stability associated with blessing. And with the kind of God wants. Verse 6, only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. I shall not be moved, he says. Psalms 92. There's many times God associates stability, blessing, and instability with cursing and not doing well, and emptiness and poverty and misery in the spiritual realm and in life itself. Unstable water, thou shalt not excel. Psalms 92, verse 12. Righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like cedar in Lebanon. Those who plant in the house of our God shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall bring forth fruit in old age, and be fat and flourishing, those that are planted, those that are stable, those that are not moved. It was a. Not only is it the Bible says about stability, and it's the it's important in our Christian life, but it's an example of great Christians. Our verse, Paul said, "All the afflictions are coming to me, but none of these things me." Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, "I can handle all things. How to be abased, how to abound, how to suffer need. I can do all through Christ who strengtheneth me. None of these move me. I'm stable. I will be not moved away from God." But many people moved. Unstable and in a roller coaster in life. interesting about our world right now, and I think it's coming to the end times possibly, is the reason is our world is so unstable right now. Everything's unstable. I've never seen it so unstable. I watch things and I watch things pulsating. Can I tell you, our politics are so unstable. Somebody could be in and out of office so quickly. The finances of our nation have never been so unstable. We used to be, we'd get a little there and be careful about it and go back and go up and down. And nowadays we're unstable and we got to spend this. What are we going to do? We got to bail her out. The company's going to collapse. And our government now is very unstable. It's people's personalities are unstable. Marriages are unstable. Companies are unstable. People's living places are unstable. Grandpa and grandma lived the same place for 40 years. People nowadays, honestly, rarely live in the same place for 40 months. Everything is stable nowadays. The banks are unstable. We don't know if our banks are going to get sometimes. Our relationships, our marriages, our relationship with our children are unstable. Our churches are unstable. I mean, churches close the door every week. Everything's so unstable in our culture nowadays, in our world. You used to be able to go and plant with your company and you'd work for a company 40 years. That company got shipped to China. You don't have a job. Nowadays, your company changes. It goes and down, back and forth. Politics, your marriages are unstable. People move back and forth and leave, and churches and their jobs are unstable. Things change all the time. Our churches are unstable. Our attendance. We are so stable, and the biggest thing that's unstable now is our emotions. Our emotions. I think, and I don't have even time to get into this, I think there are some physical reasons to think, because there's some things in our diet that actually make it unstable. I think we have way too much estrogen in us from milk and other things like that, but I don't have time for that. I think, honestly, there's reasons that people are emotional. But listen, read people writing about history, and read their biographies, and the things they went through, and how stable they were. They would lose their entire crop in a day, their house, and everything, and they'd say, we're going to move on. Nowadays, somebody loses their remote for their TV, and they're panicking. I mean, we have no stability. We are way too emotional. We have stability in our minds. We have no stability in our relationship with God. One day, God says, I love Jesus. One day, it's God is first me. I can't live anymore. We are unstable in so many ways. We are unstable in our church attendance. Many people you knew there are going to be there at church. Very few people do I know are going to be here at church on Sunday. A lot of people probably will be here. A whole bunch of people have no idea if they'll be here. And some people think they probably won't be here. But you know what? Stable. By the way, stable people, church, grow spiritually, thrive. Those who don't show up very often or inconsistent don't thrive. We are unstable. People are unstable in their relationships. It is all you could put out fights among people nowadays. You know what I mean, you know, one week and they're fighting with their uncle. My uncle this and da-da-da-da-da. And then next week it's the aunt. And then now you get along great. And then all of a sudden you get along with the aunt and uncle and you're mad at your dad. And now you get along with your mom and dad. And now you fight with your sister. And then all of a sudden the soap opera, the sister's gone. Now you're fighting with your... And then somebody at church didn't smile at you and somebody else didn't do this. And you're just all over the place in fights all the time, emotionally in relationships, just all over the place. Love your husband, you love your wife one day, and the next day you want them. Your children are wonderful and sweet and great, and then minutes later you want to kill them. I mean, everybody's just, it's unstable in our world. You don't know if you're, people don't know if they can keep their house. It's amazing. They got money in the stock market, and they just panic when it goes down. Your life is so stable. You don't want to have an unstable life. We live in an unstable world. Those who are unstable is still as today as it was in Genesis 49. Unstable, or thou shalt not excel. People jump from church to church. They go to this, they go to that church. This church I didn't like, they go to this. Oh, this is the greatest church in the world. Oh, I hate this. Oh, that's the best pastor in the world. Oh, I don't like them. You're unstable. I tell people this. My weakness in life, which I have many of them, my weakness is not instability. If all of a sudden you think I changed, you changed. I don't change a whole bunch. And if I'm a good guy one week and you mean all of a sudden one week I'm a terrible guy and I'm about your sins and I'm mean and all this stuff, maybe you're under conviction and just don't want to fight. Because if anything, I'm stable, I don't change a whole bunch. But people do change a whole bunch. And all of a sudden, I want to go to a different church. I go to this new church. Hey, they have donuts at this church. They have a lot of gene. I'm going to this new church. I'm going to go to this. They got a nice building. This church is big, good, small. I don't like small churches. I'm going to a big church. I don't like big churches. Nobody pays attention to me. You're unstable. People go to church and stick with it. But the church isn't perfect. Oh. there. I've always said, if you ever find the perfect church, don't join, ruin it. No church is right. And you know what? You're going to find the door has faults. You find out I have faults. I know, believe it or not. And you know what? You're going to find out, you know, there's all kinds of things that aren't perfect at our church. Find out my family's not perfect. Only one perfect member. The only humble one. But you know what? You're going to find, you're going to say, you know what? I don't like this. I'm just going to do it. Stop. My wife is leaving. I had to chain you to your house and make you work out. Quit being so unstable. Everybody panics so about everything. Stop. Listen to me. You're supposed to be able. People know we are going to be at church on Sunday. People know what you're going to act like. You know people in your life, you everything you say to them, you have no idea if they're going to say, hey, thanks, or I hate your guts. You know people like that? They're just totally unstable. You can email and thought you're... I sent somebody an email. I thought I was praising them. I emailed back. They were furious. You were really mean in this, and you said this, and that. I'm not that smart to mean anything. I just said what I meant. You shouldn't be like that. I think you said this and that. You can be upset at people all the time. People, are they mad or happy today? Did I say just the right thing? Are they going to blow their top? You're an unstable person. People count on you. In every area, those who are unstable, they excel and prosper. They don't excel in their lives. Thou shalt not excel. Excel in their marriages, in their children, in their relationships with the married. They don't excel in their finances. One day they're saving their money. All of a sudden they saved $1,000. You know, go and blow it all in one day. It's unstable. Your finances should be stable. Okay? You're poor, but it's stable. You're not making enough money, but you never have money, but you don't blow it. Instead of all of a sudden, month, you got to have everybody bail you out because you went down to the casino. You're unstable. You need to be stable, steadfast, immovable. Let me just give you a few points here. How not to be unstable. I'm not going to give you all the ways at all. I don't have time. How not to be unstable. If you want to overcome this instability, the unstable stronghold, where you know what? You had some good relationships and you blew them off. Oh, man, I could talk about that for so long. So many people who have every bridge in their life because they're unstable emotionally. Oh, the bridge they haven't burned is right here. Somebody in church, something wrong when you're if you burn every bridge. You want to be able in your relationships, in your finances, and it's a stronghold in life. So you don't do well in life, you can't keep a job stable. You know who keeps their jobs, by the way, and gets hired and moves up? People who show up at work on time. Why is that a bad day? I want to go to work. You're unstable. Work every day. Punch in on time. They should know you're going to be there. You get sick once a year or whatever. I understand, but you understand stability. And if you're not going to be blessed in it if you're not stable. Number one, how to make yourself stable. Make the Lord your foundation rock. Let's go back to Psalm 60. Psalm 62, and all these are an entire sermon in them, so I just want to just touch on them. Psalm 62, verse, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my strength. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. He says, God is my rock. He said, God's my salvation. God's my glory. I trust in God at all times. Verse 8, he's my refuge. God is my strength. I'm waiting only upon God. Listen, I think for stability in my life and stable people. I have a very stable wife. And she's a very stable woman I can count on. I offer that. That's a great strength. But she's not been strength. You, I know, are going to be here every single Sunday and blessing and encourages me. And I thank for you. But you know what? People move. Backslide. And some of you haven't, and that's great, and I'm proud of you, and you encourage me tremendously, but you're my rock. I'm not encouraged on Sunday because you were here, and I couldn't have made you weren't here. God's got to be my strength. You might discourage me a bit. You might add great joy to me. You are here, but you know what? I have God as my rock and my strength because people move, and people have car wrecks, and things happen. He only is my rock and salvation. Listen, people change. You love your mom and your dad, and they were your rock strength. They got very old and very sick, and so your rock was gone, and your life became very unstable. Let go of your rock and strength. It's not a church, by the way. I'm glad you love Open Door, and I hope it is open to you and helps you, but understand this is an institution of man, and mankind can fall, peer. I could die next week in a car wreck. I get in a lot of them. I can die next week in a car wreck. And you know what? You don't put your rock... don't let me be... I'm pretty simple. I think you can count on me, but you know what? I can fall. I can die. All kinds of things happen to me. Make God your rock. Make God your rock. Base your life upon the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, it says, a wise man built his house on a rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. If God is your rock and his sins are your rock, the Bible doesn't change, God doesn't change, and you can never be. If he's your rock. Make the Lord the foundation of your life. Make the rock and you won't be so unstable. You know why many are so unstable? Because they base their rock on something else. Do not base your ability on how things are going. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians. chapter 2 Corinthians and chapter a couple different verses in 2 Corinthians, but start at chapter 4, Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, you don't have to if you don't want to, but verse 8, what he says here, Paul says, troubled on every side, feel like that? Like nothing's going quite right here. I got this coming and this thing coming and this thing coming and this struggling. How many have ever been troubled on every side? I've been troubled on every side before. Watch this. Troubled on every side, yet distressed. We are perplexed. That means your mind is just, I don't know, I'm confused. What do I do? But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It is not how things are going that determine how I'm doing. Listen, most people's lives are based on how things are going. Everything doesn't always go good. And therefore, you get down. Your car will not always run well. Your health will not always be good. Your finances will not always be good. Your relationships will not always be good. If how things are going is going to determine everything, you're going to be an unstable person. And it's great right now. I'm happy. I'm in way up because your finances are good and your relationships are good and everything's going happy. And nothing wrong with being happy. I am not going to have emotions. I don't think you should be that. I think if you can add to the love of your happiness, if good things go good, you know, I'm glad. I was just thinking yesterday, Mike, you know, I haven't had car problems for a long time. And I thought, my cars are running good. I'm going to enjoy this. I've been able to save money on other things. And, you know, my health is great. Praise God, I'm enjoying that. But that's not where I get my stability from. Did my car good and I got a tax return? Things great, I'm happy. Ah! All of a sudden, you get rid of that tax return faster than you can. You spent that money. And all of a sudden, you spend that money, and all of a sudden, here comes an ache or a pain or a sickness, and you get blue. Or you get a sickness, or you get cancer, and your life down in the dumps. Somebody's missed you, and your whole day's ruined. Listen, you have to be more stable than that. Do not base it on how things are going. Jesus walked to them in the middle of a storm, the disciples, and said, peace be still, but he hadn't stilled the storm. He didn't say have peace because the storm is gone. He said, be still, I'm here. And if you'll be the Lord is in my life and I have the Lord, I'm fine. Though I'm perplexed and I'm troubled in every side, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm worried and frustrated, things messed up, but you know what? I have the Lord in my life. I'm going to be stable. I am not telling you how to make everything go today. Do not base your life and your stability on everything going good. You're going to have rocky days in your relationships. You have rocky days in your finances, in your friendships, in the spiritual. Can I tell you something? If you haven't experienced this yet, there's going to be times you're going to reach your goal and God doesn't speak to you. You're going to have times when it doesn't seem like God's listening to your prayer. And God's going to leave you and about to hide his face from you for a while and see you stable enough to keep serving him when he doesn't miss you. Very few people are stable enough that God doesn't have to bless them and make them happy and give them things. And God, you know what? I'm just not going to bless you at all and see if you still love me. Just like my kids, after a while, if I give them too many things, it becomes spoiled, expected. Where's your ice cream? I want that. And I say, you know what? We're not going to have any of that stuff for a while. Because that's a treat. And sometimes I say that to you. Let me just, you know what? I want you to be just that you have Jesus. This I know. And God loves me and I'm going to heaven when I die and that's why I don't need you to give me all the treats, God. I'm getting spoiled. Well, people can do that. It's not how things are going. Let me take a verse that says that. Chapter 11 and verse of 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 23, Paul talking, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes of measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. The Jews five times received 40 stripes, saved one. He says, I've been beaten with rods. I've been beaten with whips. I've died because they're so bad. I've beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, ox till he died. Thrice for shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the, I was floating in the ocean for a day and a night. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils of countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils among false men, in weariness, in painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fast often, in cold and nakedness. And beside all those things are without, that which cometh upon me daily, inside the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? In my knees glory, I will glory in the things in my infirmities. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. He says, God has let down through a window and all this stuff. I go to stuff, but I am fine. And a man who wrote this wrote a memory verse and says, none of these things move me. It's not how things are going. You get your stability from God. Let God be only your rock. The rock would you plant your life on. As long as God says, I'm okay. God's still in heaven. I'm fine. Health good? Finances good? Relationships good? But you know what? God's still in control. I'm not moved around. Oh boy, this is the one here. Make the Lord your foundation, your rock. Not how things are going and not emotions. Not your emotions. I mean, a little more time on that. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. This is hard to explain, and I'm going to best explain it to you. Sort of this. Emotions are the foundation of our society, and you were taught that your whole life. Follow your heart, man. No, the Bible says follow your heart. Oh, you know what? I just feel that this is what I'm supposed to do. I feel this in my heart. The Bible says that foolish thing in your heart is deceitful. Do not base your life on emotions. And it's so impossible to explain that because people their whole life thinks, if I feel good, everything's fine. If I feel bad, everything's terrible. If I feel good about this, then it's okay. If it feels good, do it. My emotion is this, and I've got to have this. And by the way, this is why psychiatrists and psychologists have no idea what to do nowadays except for one thing. Move your emotions. That's all they can do. Because they also believe that emotions are everything. How you feel is how you're, and you don't feel good, and we can't stop you from feeling bad, so let me dull your emotions, and now we have cured you. Because emotions are everything. And by the way, they don't know what to do. They don't counsel you. They can't get you to control your emotions. They must medicate you so you don't feel anymore, and your emotions don't feel, and you're okay because you don't feel like you used to feel. If you get your emotions right, and please, if I can illustrate this way, and it's simple to illustrate in the world, let me illustrate what I do all the time. Here I am going through life, and then I'm writing a sermon, just for example, whatever I'm doing. Writing a sermon. Somebody calls me, says, Pastor, I hate your guts and you're terrible. Thanks. Bye. And I feel terrible. Love that person. I don't want them to feel that way. Terrible. But anyway, what was I doing? And I'll write my sermon while I feel terrible. You say, but you feel bad. And? Emotions aren't very high on my scale of important. I'll go door knock. Hey, how you doing? I'm open to church. Oh, great. I'm thinking about coming to church. Oh, man, here's this thing. This is the, I want to invite you in. And come to church with us. We'd love to have you. We love people and this thing. Awesome, man. That's great. Good. I'll come in. So I go to the next door. Hi, I'm from Open Door Baptist Church. Hey, Christian, slam! And you know what? I don't like rejection. You know? Hi, Pastor Brian. We're from Open Door Baptist Church. And we're a great church. We love people except for your neighbor. And we want to invite you to church. And we love you. And we want you. You know what? What do you? Well, but you feel that. And big deal. Emotions are very high on my scale. The fruit is love, joy, peace. Those aren't emotions. I can feel terrible and go to my kids. And somebody's mean right before I got home. And somebody cut me off. And I walk into my house. There's my kids. And they want to sit on my lap and hug me. You know what I can do? I can feel terrible. Because emotions aren't controlled. And sit down and plop that kid in my lap and not go, he cut me off. I don't need to do that. You know why? because emotions are controlling me. I feel terrible today. No, you can feel terrible when things are going great. You eat too much pepperoni pizza and anchovies tonight about 2 in the go to sleep. It don't matter. You can have $1 million to make. You're going to feel Sometimes things go really great. You have a great victory, and all of a sudden you go get alone and you're miserable and depressed because emotions go. Talk to Elijah about that sitting there in Juniper after he just killed all the prophets of Baal. And the whole nation will follow the Lord God. And he goes to the screen and says, I should just die. Emotions are illogical. You've been trained your whole life, and I've been trained my whole life. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the church? One lady told me, she says, I was getting ready to go to your church, and the lady says, why do you like that church so much? She says, come, I go there, I feel like he hits me over the head with the Bible. And the person said, I wouldn't want to go there. You know, when God convicts you, you don't feel good. Hey, isn't it awesome? God just told me I'm a wicked sinner. Yay! That's not what you feel. You don't feel that way. But it's good for you. Do you only go to work when you feel like going? You don't base your lives on feelings. I feel terrible. You know what? I'm depressed today. I ate too much junk yesterday. And you know what? I didn't get the right amount of sleep. And I feel bad. Hey, how you doing? See you today. Hey, I'm going to go to work. How do you do that when you feel? Quit basing anything on feelings. I feel like that person doesn't like me. Who cares? Be nice anyway. You know one of the most impossible things to do in counseling nowadays is? I just feel like I should go to another church. I just should divorce him. I just feel like I can't be around more. I just feel like I can't control it. I just feel like they're talking to me. I feel like this. And when you say, for the rest of our conversation, don't say the word. Well, I have to, because I just feel like. Why does like that? Shh. The word feel. What are you going to do? Well, I feel like this job. I forgot. No, you're not. Everything in your life is based on how you feel. Think Paul, they're stoning me. They're throwing rocks in my house. This is great. Hi, guys. Oh. He said, oh, this hurt. They're killing me. They're rejecting me. They're saying I'm a blast. I hate Moses. They're killing me. They're throwing me outside. They hate me or spitting on me and throwing rocks at me. I feel terrible. But you know what? I'm going to get up and serve Jesus. It's just tough sometimes. You just control emotions. And sometimes you smile when you don't feel. Sometimes I've come to church and I didn't feel all bubbly and you never knew it. I don't need to wear emotions and on my cuff. You don't need to say everything you feel, by the way. Oh, let me know that. Well, I just need it because I felt it. You know what if I said everything I felt? You get killed? Man, you got a big nose. Slow. You're the slowest teller in the whole place. Man, you're an idiot. Why'd you get the project? Hey, you're lazy. Get up, man. Knock it off. Hey, you are ugly. I mean, everything you feel. Feel a whole bunch of things you don't say. You don't have to. I got everything off my chest. Get everything off your chest. Some, a lot of things are better not said. And if you can control emotions, you don't say, I got it. I just had it. And then all of a sudden, a big fight's there, and you say, they can't take back. And it's. They remember years. When somebody comes in the door, I might be frustrated. I haven't been there for 6 months, but when they come, I'll say, I'm glad you're here. You've got to control your emotions and quit basing your life on how you feel. It changes with your sleep. It changes with chemicals in your brain. It changes what you eat. It changes with, and your emotions do this and that and this and that. You don't base it. I'm committed to this marriage. I don't feel like I love them now, but who cares how I feel? I love them. I'm committed. I don't feel like going to church today, but I'm going to go to church not feeling like it. I don't feel like witnessing today, but I'm going to go witnessing anyway. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm going to read a Bible anyway. Oh, I'm going to spend all day on that. Paul is in despair, but he wasn't moved. I'm miserable. I feel terrible. What was I doing now? That's what you do in life. If you want to not be moved, you don't base life on those things. You base it on the Lord. It's not on things. I don't have time to verses. Bible says, trust not in certain riches. All of a sudden, you get money. Most happy when they get money, but don't do that. Money, the way the Bible says, it takes up wings, flies away. Proverbs 31:30, Proverbs 23:5, and 11 verse 28. I don't got time to turn there. As your riches take up wings. Put your anchor in eternity and in the Lord himself. The Lord never changes. Looking into Jesus. Number two, how do we not be unstable? Make the Lord your foundation and rock. Number two, know what you believe. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, be not blown about with every wind of doctrine. Know what you believe. Listen, you know God loves you unconditionally, which he does. None of these things can move you from the love of God. Death or life or principalities or powers or things, prayer, height or depth. None of these things shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you understand the doctrine that God loves unconditionally, you don't get blown by that when things go bad. But God doesn't love me, things going bad. No, God still loves you. Don't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. I just feel this new thing. I just feel movement in my heart. Who cares? Don't be blown around by a doctrine. But there's a cute new doctrine around that he's talking about. Who cares? The Bible didn't change. Know what you believe, be able to put the verse that says it, and stick with it. When doctrine doesn't change, you get stable. When doctrine change and God is still the same as he always was, I am the Lord, I change not, you'll become a stable person because the doctrine never changes and God still loves you, though you don't even feel like he loves you. Pastor, feel like God didn't love you? Yeah. I don't always feel the love of God glowing on me. Listen, people, the weather changes emotions. You're in Seattle. If you're going to be, it rains. And when it's cloudy, let me say this. Trust in the Lord. You want to know how to be not be able? Make the Lord your foundation. Know what you believe and trust in the Lord. Let me go back to Psalm 25. We'll make this our last point. And I might finish when I want. In spite of every Psalms 125. Verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be on Zion, which cannot be removed, abideth forever. As the mountains of Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people from hence forevermore. Trust God. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust in him. If you want to be stable, trust God. So here I am, and I'm just being talking about me today. Here I am, and I've got left and no more money left. There's more month than there is money sometimes. And all the time. And all of a sudden I say, you know what? My mortgage is coming up, and it's coming up, and this bill's coming up, and I got to pay for my life and this and that. I don't have enough money. There's two ways to react right there. If I put the Lord first in my life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If I put God for my life, I can do one of two things. What am I going to do? I don't know. And like people do all the time. And they're so stressed, they bite their family off, and they're nasty, or I can say, you know what? God says he'll provide all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I trust God. I've had times when people came to me, and I was in financial trouble, and I mean, oh, man. I'm not talking, you know, $100 short of my rent. I'm talking trouble, thousands of dollars I owe, and I'm going to get my power shut off. I'm going to get this shut off. It's coming at me, and I got nowhere to get it from. And come to me and say, what am I going to do? They're going to shut my cable off tomorrow. But let me treat anybody's problem small. And I can be ready to be on the street with six kids tomorrow. And if you come up to me and say, I'm really about a new pair of shoes, I'm not going to minimize what you do, and you'll never know I'm in worse shape than you. Because I don't have to say, you think you got to beg me? Stop. Be still. But none of these things move. By the way, when I'm right with God, I can go anything. It's the Lord's strength. Not me. It's the Lord's strength. And you know, trust God, I say, you know what? I don't do pay my bills, but you know what? I'm going to have a great day today. I'm going to walk around and sing God's praises. Oh, wonderful, wonderful day. You know what? Hey, how you doing? You know what? You're struggling. Let me for you today, man. I'm praying for you. And go, and I'm just going to live my life and be happy and trust, take care of tomorrow. Some of you are so worried tomorrow, you can't take care of today. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Bible says take care of tomorrow. Trust God. If you can trust, say, I believe God can take care of me. I'm just going to trust in this. I'm not talking about you being irresponsible. I'm not thinking God's going to provide for me. God doesn't do that. He says he will. I'm not talking about you saying, I'm going to go spend my money on the lottery and trust God to pay bills. Not that. When you've done what God wants you, when you trust God, and you say, I just believe God can take me, it makes you very stable. And when you don't trust God, and you're all worried, what are you doing, God? What are you going to do? And you're calling everybody and screaming and yelling again. By the way, if you need help, talk to somebody to help you. But don't talk to another panicked person. Why do you do that? Is it fun to have two people together? I don't get that. Unstable people talk to unstable people. I don't know what I'm going to do. My life's miserable. So is mine. My miserable. Let's commit suicide together. Okay. It's not going to do any good. I mean, talk to somebody who's stable. And what am I going to do? And they'll say, you know what? Trust God. Put God first. It'll work out. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Trust in all thine heart. Make God quit. Go back. Repent and go back to God. He'll take care of you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because of these things, you not be a person who changes a lot. You have the Lord, you have the Bible, it doesn't change. You're going to go to heaven for eternity. God still loves you. Stop. I heard of a man, true story, about a man who was swimming out in the ocean and a riptide then pulled him out. He was a pastor. Ripped him out, and he was a decent swimmer, and he kept trying to get back to shore, but the riptide just pulled him out there, and he was struggling and exhausted and trying to swim back. But you know what? It's pretty him against the ocean. You know how small and helpless you are with a current sometime. And he trying to swim back, and somebody noticed him out there and called the police and lifeguard of the oceans. So they had people there and rescue him, and he was getting farther out. And finally, he cried. And he saw the life. And one person on shore, he's the same person who called the police, and just stood there. And he just stood there. Finally, the man who was out there drowning just said, I'm going to quit fighting this. I'm just going to float. I'm just going to float. Okay, I'm getting farther and farther out, and I'm exhausted. I sink. Eventually, they got some kind of craft to go out there, a boat to go out. And they rescued the man, made it in. But he wouldn't have made it. It took a long time to get the boat there and stuff. He wouldn't have made it if he'd been fighting. He'd have drowned. And finally he gets there, he gets in shore, and he walks in on shore, and the person was wearing white for a reason, that was calling the calling, I think that he might even been with him, but he said, man, I thought you were dead. He says, you just kept getting farther and farther out, and you're swimming, so you go under several times, and the waves were big, and everything else. And he says, man, how did you not panic? He said, you know, you saved my life. He's just fighting and struggling and everything else, and I thought, you know what, I can't fight this, I've just got to rest, and I can float. And he said, but all I needed to do, I did not know where I was, where I was getting too far out, or if that was, but some reason, as long as I saw you on shore, I felt safe. Because some knew I was here, and you kept looking at me. I knew you were looking at me, and I knew you would call me, and I knew I was safe. I just kept my eyes on you. And he says, every time I'd go underneath a wave, I'd panic for a sec, but I'd come back up, and I'd see in. I'd go back under, and the first thing I'd do was leave you again. I just kept on floating. Knowing you were there, knowing that somebody saw, that somebody was caring and staying there for me, and somebody was watching, I knew eventually I would be rescued. And if you can do life, I am not saying you're not going to not see it sometimes. You're not going to have a trial or a pain or worry sometimes. You're going to, but God will be there. Don't expect a single minute. Don't expect God to do everything, everything on the spot second. But if you'll make your only strength and the strength of your life, and that God loves me and saved and going to heaven, and God is my life, and you know what? He is my Lord and my God, and he's my Father, and he's going to take care of me. And just keep looking at Jesus. You won't panic and drown. If you keep on trying to fight the panic of life, by the way, without Christ, you're gonna have an unstable. You built your house in sand. You can have a stable life. Stronghold of instability will make you panic. What to do? I just got to get away from church. I got to go away. I got to go back to my drugs. I everything's wrong. I'm scared. I got to go back to that bad boyfriend. He'll take care of me. When you go and get unstable, you make a bad decision. It becomes a stronghold of your life. And your children look down. Your life is unstable, and it's not what it should be. Be stable. Make the Lord your foundation and rock. Do not base your life on emotion. Trust the Lord. And know what you believe. Follow the Bible, and you will be stable. Stronghold will not destroy you anymore. Let's pray. Father, today as we look at your prayer today, we decide to be stable people. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be like Reuben, unstable water, thou shalt not excel. Help us to excel with stability in our lives, fast and movable, always in church, sticking with people in our lives, sticking with you, not changing every 5 minutes. We feel bad doing what's right, Lord. Help us to do what we need to do to be stable people, Lord. We look at your word. Help us to